Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Dagdi Bugas Fáilte. Hi, hello and welcome. It's John O'Sullivan, the Irish Pagan School. And we are here to talk about satire today and the importance of its role in ancient Irish society. But before we dive into that, I'd like to invite you to pick up a year's worth of free teaching resources available from the Irish Pagan School. All you got to do is go to irishpagan.school/free. And we have multiple different blog posts, videos, kind of, and links to classes that are free within the Irish Pagan School as well. It's a great way to kind of get a beginning kind of grounding under you to understand, like, you know, the teaching and the perspectives that we're coming from here. Before you kind of delve a little bit deeper, or, you know, if the funds aren't available at the moment because of where the world and the crises are at the moment, there's still kind of teaching available. There's still kind of content that we're regularly producing. So, oh, also don't forget the Irish Pagan School podcast here on YouTube and also on TikTok. And if you feel inclined to do the like and subscribe thing, that really, really helps us as well, to turn up any algorithm and to make sure that we're remaining relevant in front of people and getting the voice where they need to be. For the sake of paganism in the world, or Irish culture, or spirituality in this world. But satire, yeah. So there was a question kind of presented in, and it was a good question. Like, you know, it's a great question. And it's, could I talk about the Irish satire and compare and contrast them for modern understandings of satire? I wish I could deep dive into this in a long, extensive kind of way, but I think what I can do is probably give you a couple of pointers in the right direction. And we have to kind of talk about the culture and how the culture has evolved and changed and shifted, and the role and how satire was set in its context. So today what we understand by satire as a form of humor. Satire is seen as a form of kind of tongue-in-cheek expression. If you were in Ireland, like, you'd be taking the mick out of someone, taking the mick out of something or some situation. And satire is said to be kind of intellectual, but like scathing. It's kind of like takedown comedy. That kind of stuff is what's referred to as satire. But depending on the levels and layers that you go to, it can be easily missed in some ways. And sometimes some of the best and most wonderful satire is the stuff that is easily missed. And, like, you know, it's that kind of awareness of how it then almost becomes a satire on the satire, a satire on the culture, because, like, it's not being kind of picked up on. Some great examples of that recently is the movie Don't Look Up, really, really great movie recently, which is a full kind of satire about, you know, the mentality of burying your head in the sand and, like, you know, political kind of commentary, like not engaging with it and falling for the propaganda. But of course, the other great propaganda piece is, of course, Starship Troopers, which is a sci-fi movie about, like, you know, going and stomping out bugs in this thing, and it's just kind of, yeah, we'll defend humanity and all the rest of it, but the entire thing is full of fascist propaganda, and, you know, the entire thing is a satirical piece. But what's almost entertaining about that is it's become like a cult B-movie hit where people miss the point that it's actually a satire, and miss the point that, like, you're not supposed to be rooting for the humans because the humans are the fascists. Which actually, commonly enough, actually at the moment, talking about modern cultures, and it is, I suppose, we're still in question here. There's a game recently released, Helldivers 2, and again, it's this concept very much based on the Starship Troopers thing about, like, you know, oh, it's super democracy and be the heroes of humanity and all the rest of it. But essentially, humanity is the fascism bad guys with a cloak of democracy pulled over it. So you're not supposed to root for the humanity. Also, you know, unpopular to many people, Warhammer 40,000 from Games Workshop. Absolutely a fascist dystopia, a sci-fi fascist dystopia. So all of those things, like, you know, the satire sometimes gets lost, but the purpose of the satire is supposed to be an intellectual kind of scathing or a takedown kind of comedy to make a point against a thing. Satires are performed against either a notion, a philosophy, a power, a government, that kind of stuff. And it is that aspect of it that is very much lost now, because when we go back to the ancient Irish culture and structure, satire wasn't just performative fun and games. satire was legally recognized. Satire was part of the Brehon laws established by the Brehons, like recognized across the country. And having a satire placed against you was very serious business. And so the power of satire was not just commonly available. Like, it was restricted to a particular class of the Irish society, which were the bards. And the bards and also the fillas. And filla being like a top level of bard, like, you know, the best of the best being fillas. And then, of course, there's the singular Ollamh na hÉireann, the chief poet or philosopher or professor, really, of Ireland. But satire was very much a power that was available to keep power in check, to keep abuses of power in check. And so you may have an individual, like, say, a chieftain or anything like that at all. And, you know, they have kind of ultimate power in their tuatha, in their tribe. You know, they are the be-all, the end-all. They're the ones who give the judgment. They're the one, well, you know, with the Brehons are the ones who provide the context for the judgment, but power sits very squarely with these upper echelons of society. So how is there any check to that? How is there any kind of counterpoint or counterbalance to that? And that's where the roles of the bards came in, because regardless of someone's situation or status, because our ancient Irish society was very regulated. There was very clear, like, statuses and cultural statuses, and the status you're kind of born into is generally the one that you live in and die in, and your children will live in and die in, foregoing some vast heroic feat or some significant change in wealth. Now, the purpose of satire still kind of sits around that, to provide those kind of counterpoints. So if someone is abusing their power or not providing right hospitality, if someone is in some way violating the laws of Ireland, a bard could perform a legal satire against them. And it was legally recognized as satire, because it's mentioned in the books of laws that, first things first, the bard would have to notify the person of their indiscretion. They would then have to give the person a period of time to make right or to make restitution for the harm or the damage that was done, and warn them that the consequence would be a satire placed against them. Then once that time elapsed, if the restitution has not been made, the bard was free to perform the satire. And the satire would then be a scathing indictment of that individual based on, you know, whatever the indiscretion was. Now, of course, where we are now, that might be where the story ends. But in the ancient Irish culture, things got a lot further, because given the recognized status of satire as part of the Irish culture, it could lead to someone's loss of status. They could lose their position as a chieftain. Chieftains could be taken down by having a legal satire placed against them. They're no longer fit to rule. They're no longer fit to, like, you know, lead the people in that area. The most famous one, of course, is we go back to the mythological cycle, and we have Bres, who is the failed king of the Tuatha Dé Danann. Like, he favors his Fomorian ancestry. He puts the Tuatha Dé Danann pretty much in bondage. And there's not much the Tuatha Dé Danann can do about it. He gives, like, a false judgment against the Dagda of murder when it was death by misadventure. But even that is still not enough to topple Bres. The thing that finally topples Bres is he gives really shit hospitality to a bard. The bard warns him, you need to make up for this. Like, you know, literally, the bard is put aside in a barn because he's a Tuatha Dé Danann bard, not a Fomorian bird. He's put aside in a barn. He's not even given a blanket. There's no kind of food for him. He's given, like, you know, the like small little kind of dry cakes and one small cup of milk. Whereas, you know, a bard was someone who you're supposed to take care of, because the bards didn't just function as, you know, power plays or performers. They were the memory. They're the ones who remembered all the stories and recited the stories, remembered everyone's lineage and recited the lineage. So disrespect of a bard was serious fucking business. And so, of course, this bard, Capra by name, he actually warns Bres, listen, there's no hospitality here. You have to make right by this. Bres ignores him. And so Capra performs his satire, legally performs the satire, saying that there's no hospitality in the house of Bres. And that is the coffin nail for the rule of this king in Ireland, which then leads to him, like, fleeing to the Fomorians and trying to raise an army. Well, he does raise an army to invade Ireland for the Second Battle of Moytura. But it is that legally placed satire that is the end of his rule. And so that's the power that we have here involved with ancient Irish performance of satire. Now, that's just the legal power. There's also the mystical power. Because bards sit somewhere in between our world and the other world. They know the stories of our kind and the other kind. The use of their voice, the use of their power, like the, this definition by recitation. If a bard said it was so, it was so. And we have many times where bards use their powers. There's actually one, there's a guy called Ahern. This is in the later, in the Ulster cycle. And he's lost in the wilds. Like he's an entitled asshole, this guy, because not all bards are good guys. Let's be fair. Ahern is an absolute fucking asshole and he's hungry. And so he goes through the river, a river, and he's trying to fish in the river. And like he shit at it. He can't get any fish. And in his incensed wrath, he performs a satire on the river. And his power of his voice is such that the river is incensed by the satire placed against it, and the river floods. The river floods, leaps out of its bank, and tries to chase tries to trace Ahern away. And he flees to high ground, and he's there like, you know, oh, fuck, what have I done? When a whole lot of near people begin to climb to that high ground too, and there are people from a nearby village which has been flooded out by the river. And like they're like, oh no, it's terrible. The river has suddenly flooded. And Ahern, being sharp as fuck, he's like, oh, well, maybe I can take care of this. I'm a famous bard and poet. And they're like, please, please, we'll do anything if you can calm the river. And he then goes and he performs songs of, you know, praise poetry, because that's the other side of it. It's said the bards had two sides to their tongue. One was praise and one was poison. And so the poison is the satire aspect, the sharpness of the tongue, but then also the praise poetry, which is the smoothness. And so he then performed these praise poetry, praising the river, beautiful river, calm and flowing river. And by his works, he makes the river, he undoes the satire, and the river goes back into its normal flow. And the villagers kind of, oh, it's great, it's our hero. And then they feast him and take care of him for all of that time. He never tells them that it's actually fucking his fault. So there is a mystical element to the power that bards would have in their voices. And in fact, Ahern leverages that on many occasions, because it was said that if a satire was placed against a person, it could cause a blemish to rise upon their face, like a mark, a triple mark would rise upon their face. And that would be it. Everyone, it wasn't just a case that like people would know the story about you, like you would be physically on your face marked by the satire. Which means that, like, you know, essentially you're done in the society, because that's the other part of it. Ancient Ireland society wasn't capitalist. Like, it wasn't, you know, there was no money. Everything was based on barter, and barter wasn't just like, okay, well, here's the generic value for items generally accepted. Barter was based on reputation. Reputation was based on who are you and where are you from? What are your people? What is your standing within the community? What is your status within the society? And so if you have something that can change and shift not just a person's status in their society, but also every other person's perception of that individual, you've completely undermined their ability to function within society. And in the worst and extreme cases, someone having a satire placed against them would be excommunicated from their community, from their tour. They are out. They are done. At which point, survival becomes very fucking hard to do. Like, in other kind of judgments, individuals will be put into a boat and sent off the edge of the island. Now, of course, the currents might wash them back onto the island, but there's another legal precedent for that anyone who comes in washed up in a boat has no status, has no tribe, and is pretty much property. So all of this can be linked back to this performance of satire, to this status within society, your reputation, your good name, and how that is impacted by satire, what is known about you, what is the story that is about you. And that power sits squarely with the bards. So, some part of me is very much aware of the power that goes along with this definition by recitation, with this kind of ability to both praise, but also, like, you know, speak the sharper truths. And I don't know, maybe there should be more of an awareness of the importance of satire. And yes, maybe there should be more structure around satire. So satire is used to punch up, never to punch down, to kind of, as it should be. In the ancient Irish society, satire was a counterbalance to power and the misuse of power. And so maybe if more people were aware of satire, maybe if more people could take on board satire, then, you know, we could end up with a healthier, better society from it. So thank you very much for the question, Gaurav Mahagath. Again, do go, if you're interested in any of this stuff that we talk about here, make sure you're doing the like and subscribe. Make sure you're kind of helping us out with the algorithms. If you've got a question, put it in the comments wherever you find this. And until next time, look after yourself. Take care. August Sloan. Goodbye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Sláinte fóill, and we will see you next time.